probably know on the criminal procedure amendment vote is not going to be debated. Okay? There's a report that will be tabled, and I think as Chair, I'll stand up and just give a brief explanation, and that's it. Is that a little better? Right, Bonani will fix it. I'll raise my voice. We have a fair number of cases before us. I'm not quite sure where we should start or which one we should begin with.
The one who died.
The one who died? Okay. Mokone. Oh, here he is. We gathered as much, Mr. Jeffrey. Ms. Schaefer proposes we begin with Mokone. I'm just finding into the Mokone, right. Okay. I take it you have the necessary documentation in front of you. And members of the commission, do you want to address us on this matter first?
Obviously, Jefferson, there are actually four progress reports as well. And then there are the two provisional suspensions, which is Ntuli and Mokone.
Right.
And then we have the removal from office of Ms. Miles. It's a consideration of legal opinion. And then we have the withholding of remuneration of Ms. Ndamasi.
That's
the lot.
Just go through them again.
Progress reports, Mr. Mazinga. Mr. Moraki. Mr. Rambo. Dumani is an old matter, Jefferson.
Yes, I know.
And we request removal from office there.
Okay, we're getting there. Slowly.
And then the provisional suspension from office of Mr. Ntuli.
Suspension. Ntuli.
And Ms. Mokone.
Mokone.
Removal from office. Ms. L. Miles,
yes.
And then withholding of remuneration of Ms. Ndamasi.
Remuneration.
I'm guided by you. You want to then start with Mokone, or would you like to proceed with the progress reports first?
Give us, let's do the progress reports. Hopefully they'll go quickly, and then we'll take it from there. All right.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The first person is Mr. M.P. Makinga. Just for background, he was charged with, in terms of the Domestic Violence Act, and it's alleged that he assaulted his wife with an axe, that he kicked her and hit her with open hands and threatened to kill her. He also assaulted his daughter. Just for background, also in the criminal case, he was convicted and sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. He appealed against his conviction and sentence, and the appeal is still pending. Regarding the inquiry, this is an ongoing matter. Mr. Masinga is really taking his time with cross-examination, but that's something out of our hands. We have to go through the processes. This matter has the next date for postponement is the 18th of March for further cross-examination of the third witness. we are making progress. There are six witnesses. We have already led four. At some stage, he was not present, and we proceeded in his absence. Now, when he did appear, he got the opportunity to do the cross-examination of the witnesses that have already been led. We have now... we are starting with the third witness, which is to be cross-examined, and I indicated that that's postponed to the 18th of March. He does not receive a salary. It's already been withheld with effect from 26th of September 2011.
We began a cross-examination of the commission's witnesses on 1 August last year, and he's only cross-examining the third witness.
What he is doing, Mr. Chair, is he took the the transcriptions of the criminal case, and the witnesses we have let in the misconduct inquiry. And he's using all those that information with his cross-examination. And he does not have an attorney anymore. He's gone through those processes. He's defending himself. And he goes with cross-examination for about a week on just one witness.
A week?
I think with the one witness we have now, 5 days.
All right.
We are, of course, continuously objecting to any unnecessary delays, and also from the presiding officer side as well.
So, Chair, the fact that he's not getting a salary and he is suspended, it makes at least some mitigation. But when I read this thing, I was absolutely embarrassed at the Magistrate Commission and at the Magistrate Profession. I mean, Mr. Jeffrey always makes fun of me that I support the magistrates. When I look at this, I don't blame him. I mean, look at what another remark on Oahu. A magistrate is getting a trade union to represent him. Commence representing our attorney, appoint and eliminate, postponed because he was considering resigning. That's a reason for a postponement. If he resigns, that's the reason for a postponement. Why is it postponed because he was considering resigning? Then of course he didn't. That's outrageous. And surely you've got to get to the point where you say, sorry, this is the final date. If your attorney is not ready, tough. I know it's not there, but it's just embarrassing. It is embarrassing that this has been going on since 2010 for domestic violence as well. We're trying to fight this whole scourge as we discussed yesterday. And we have magistrates sitting there, you know, going out and proceeding to this to prevent an outrage.
I mean, there's not much we can do, and I do accept it is in the hands of the disciplinary inquiry, but I think there are serious questions I would have over the presiding officer about how he or she is conducting themselves. Because, you know, here you have a magistrate who beats up his wife. I don't know what the criminal charges of attempted murder or attempted murder. What he found guilty of attempted murder? Attempted murder, domestic violence case. From 19th of March 2009, I think commission started too late on the matter, and I think the presiding officers, once the inquiry is finished, the commission should look at the conduct of the presiding officer and whether they were behaving correctly. But I think there's nothing more we can do with this apart from note it and express our outrage at the fact that a magistrate found guilty of domestic violence. An attempted murder and arising from a domestic violence incident could still be a magistrate.
Notwithstanding the withholding of his immunity.
Notwithstanding, but he's a magistrate. You know, does he still get other benefits with remuneration, with health, medical aid, provident fund?
Nothing. Okay.
He's been suspended then, Chairperson. I can't speak on behalf of the deciding officer, Chairperson.
No, we don't expect you to. We just want you to hear.
But the deciding officer takes into account the fact that it is procedurally not fair. You can take it to the High Court like it's been done in the Mani case.
I think, you know, the deciding officer is hard to limit cross-examination. But I think nothing can be done with the presiding officer now. Let the matter finish.
Yeah.
But once it's finished, can the commission look at evaluating the conduct of the presiding officer with a view to where he or she should ever be used again on these matters? And I think we should express, Chair, our disapproval with the commission and all its members.
Maybe I can just mention that I've seen on numerous occasions that the presiding officer does stop me and say, no, this can't go on. You must, any questions, and he tries to expedite it.
All right, anybody else on this particular matter? Okay. All right. For now, that one is shelved until Mr. Masinga gets his act in order. All right. Next.
In the chairperson, Mr. Meraki, he's been charged with 6 counts of misconduct. We eventually could start but leaving the evidence after he had the opportunity to appoint counsel. He was eventually placed in front of the appointed senior counsel, and we were able on the 7th and the 8th of January 2013 to plead the evidence of 3 witnesses. Arrangements have also been made prior to that date, to the 25th of February, which was the day before yesterday, if we could consult with counsel to eliminate the points in dispute so that we can make progress in this matter. The matter stands now postponed to the 3rd and the 4th of April 2013 for further evidence. April, and Mr. Meraki does not receive any remuneration.
He also fired his lawyer.
Same issue. I mean, he's found guilty of theft. This is even worse. I mean, maybe the crime is less because it's theft, but it's worse in terms of 30th of July 2007. He's found guilty of theft. The remuneration is only suspended 5 years later. Okay, 22nd of November 2012. I see that he. I don't know what's happening with his appeal. Because the tapes and the CDs containing criminal trial proceedings have gone missing. I mean, that sounds suspiciously like an inside job. But I don't know, again, why these things have to drag on. I mean, what kind of message does it send about the seriousness of the Magistrates Commission in terms of dealing with wrongdoings of its own people? I think we've got no choice but to note the issue, but I think we discussed it last time, but 5 years after his conviction, I mean, when did he actually commit the theft? If he was found guilty in 2007, he must have committed the theft earlier than that. But 5 years after he's found guilty, salary gets suspended.
Yes, Mrs.
I think we have to draw attention to Regulation 2614 for the judicial officers in the lower courts, saying that as long as people have proper notice, the hearing can proceed. And I think they should look at that more often.
Regulation, just repeat it, please. 2614, Regulation 2614.
Chair, maybe we should also, I mean, maybe I'll raise it at the end, maybe we should also look at whether legislative amendments are necessary.
Your views are precisely as they were in the Masinga case. Good. All right.
Chairperson. May I just rectify or clarify? Mr. Meraki appeared in court the first time on the 13th of July, but he was only convicted in 2010. Only sentenced in 2011. We got hold of the docket. That is docket when we sent a colleague of us, Richtenberg, to the police station. I've made arrangements with a senior superintendent to obtain the copy of the dockets. When we got there, the contents of the dockets were gone. So it made it very difficult for us to draft the charges also, and it was very complicated because the other file charges are also involved.
Give us the docket number.
The docket number?
I'd like to give me the help. I want you to relay it to us.
I'm just reading the researcher's report, but it was here, 13th of July 2007. He appeared in the Lichtenberg District Court on 3 charges of theft. The matter was postponed for judgment. Then 18th October 2010, he was convicted of the judgment. 3 years for a judgment. So in other words, if this is correct, the trial was completed on the 13th of July
2007.
Why does it take 3 years for judgment? Is this another of his buddies sitting on the bench who doesn't want to find him guilty?
Yeah. Yeah, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. This one looks smelly.
Tell us, why did it take the years to have judgment?
Are you in a position to tell us?
The plow, its first appearance was on the 13th of July 2007. So the trial had then to continue, so all the evidence had to be led, and the judgment was only granted on the 18th of October, so it took 3 years for the case in a regional court to be finalized.
But if you read your report on page 2.3, on the 13th of July 2007 he appeared on 3 charges of theft. The matter was postponed 18th October 2010 for judgment. The reading of that is that it was on the 13th of July postponed for judgment. It may be a problem with the report. Maybe the trial took place, but you haven't, you know, you should have put in the report the trial occurred on this day, and then was postponed for judgment. But can we get clarity on that, please?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. That's my omission.
I think also a 3-year trial in a district court is also heading towards record breaking.
Is it?
Yes.
No? It happens?
It happens, but I think that a different standard, because bad apple magistrates affect the integrity of the whole magistrate's profession. And one would expect that everybody from the commission to the criminal courts would expedite the finalization of magistrate criminal matters.
All right. Mrs. Schaefer? Patilola, Mrs.
Well, let me better comment before I go to my question.
Sure.
The postponement or the delay in the finalization of court cases is a result of a number of factors. There are a number of witnesses, the police, the magistrates, lawyers, being available, not available, postponing it. So it's something that is quite a common occurrence. Not that it has to be condoned. So the blame cannot be placed on the shoulders of only one of the many individuals that are involved. But I just wanted to ask the question, Chair, as to whether any investigation or inquiry was conducted into the disappearance of the contents of the docket.
As well as the record of proceedings?
Yes.
Who's responsible for conducting those investigations? Are you able to answer?
Chairperson, we did our level best to get hold of the CDs and all the tapes. And we have quite a good collection of what had happened in the criminal trial. And we gave it to the presiding officer. Because we got hold of some of the transcription before they got missing, and they went missing with the docket itself. I mean, it's beyond our jurisdiction to request the police to investigate it. But it's very difficult for them to report back to the commission. But we asked them what had happened, and nobody could tell us. But we can ask them to report. At least we were in the position to have a copy of the docket before it was gone, before it went missing. So we had a copy.
You did get a copy.
Only after that, yes.
Are you sure it was complete?
Well, on the face of it, it looks complete. At least we had the statements, and we're continuing on that basis. With regard to the criminal charges against magistrates, we requested the chairperson of the commission to approach the National Director of Public Prosecutions, and he would consult with the then Advocate Simulani, and there was a letter sent out as a result of that meeting to all the DDPs and all the provinces requesting them to speed up and expedite all criminal matters against magistrates.
Mr. Schaefer, and then
surely there must be something we can do as a committee about that document. I think we should make some formal inquiries, even if it's via the police committee, and ask them to investigate that matter, how that document disappeared, what's happened, what's been done about it.
Well, you said they had a copy.
Yeah, but we need to find out what happened to that now, after that. Why did it disappear? And what are they doing about it?
Okay.
we should ask what's happening, because it, I mean, particularly with these smaller town courts. But I mean, if you read the report on the disciplinary matter, I mean, he gets charges served on the 29th of December 2010. I mean, it's just one delaying tactic after another. And what I find amusing is that he terminates the mandate of his legal representative on the 23rd of April. Then he wants on the 14th of May indulgence to instruct a new representative. He indicated his sister would assist him financially to enable him to brief counsel. That was granted. Then on the 11th of June 2012, he places on record he's frantically looking for an attorney to represent him. And then he manages, this man who's short of money, to brief senior counsel. I mean, it's a, you know, what's the cost of senior counsel? And it's just delay after delay. I mean, the magistrates obviously learn this from the attorneys appearing before them. But it just is, it's the commission's been led by its nose.
The commission obtained
In the meantime, Mr. Rambeau's most recent residential address and the notice of hearing was served on Mr. Rambeau on the 21st of February this year. He was also requested to show cause why his remuneration should not be withheld. A letter was served on him, and he has to respond to this. The misconduct inquiry is to continue on the 25th of March at the regional office, Polokwane, in the magistrate's office, where our previous venue was, has been burnt down. He is still receiving remuneration. That's why we asked that, he gives reasons why it should not be withheld.
Is it correct that the Magistrate Commission has agreed, has recommended that he not be, his remuneration not be suspended because he hasn't been convicted?
Yeah.
And if so, then I have follow-ups.
Yeah.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Why?
Abusing the process for another 2 years and get certainly his salary.
Chair, that is why we ask now that we feel there's unnecessary delays, and notwithstanding the outcome, the finalization of the misconduct inquiry, that the Commission considers withholding remuneration.
Okay, can I ask, can we recommend as a committee without the Commission's recommendation?
Chairperson, we only asked him to submit reasons why his remuneration should not be withheld. That has to be first dealt with by the Commission. Let's make a resolution, a determination, and then it will be referred to Parliament.
Okay, then another issue, I mean, you know, just look again here, 2011, 12 September, submitted a medical certificate stating he was suffering from diabetes mellitus. Well, shame. Many people suffer from diabetes. It's an ongoing condition. It's not something you happen for one day that you just can't go to a meeting. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mr. Jeffrey?
Just to get a bit of clarity, the criminal case, when is it postponed at all?
It is postponed until the 9th to the 12th of April. The magistrate in the criminal trials also made an order that he be given assistance by the state for his defence. Was that what it was? The attorney requested assistance, yes. And I think that's for the co-accused. The co-accused was an attorney and a prosecutor.
Look, one, I don't understand the report. If you look at page 2, we're dealing with Rabah, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, 2.3. Criminal case was postponed March 2011, April, June 2011, August, September, October. The matter is still part heard and stands postponed to 25 May 2012. So, I mean, you're not updating the report. This is meant to be a report on what's happening. Presumably, the matters, it was heard last year. Okay, so this report, number one, is inadequate. Number two, in August 2011, Mr. Mayor indicated that the Ethics Committee had been requested to recommend to the Magistrates Commission that Mr. Rambau's salary should be withheld, as this had been turned, but this had been turned down as he had not yet been convicted. So we've been talking about withholding the salary for years. I mean, you know, it really is, this is a man who is accused in 2010 of corruption, and it goes to the heart of our judicial system for basically accepting money to determine the outcome of a trial. So it's a little bit more worse than the match fixing, because it basically goes to the fabric. If the magistrates, if the criminal justice system, prosecutors and magistrates are corrupt, that you can bribe them, then it brings the whole system into disrepute. I think it's totally unacceptable, Chair, that I don't know what we're meant to do with this report, but I would say I think we're just noting reports, but I would say we reject this report. This particular report is inadequate. Number one, the information is not properly supplied as to what's happening with a criminal trial. I mean, it's a shoddy report, this one, you know, because it matter stands, still part heard and stands postponed to 21 to 25 May 2012. What happened in 2012? We're being given dates in April. When are those dates set?
And two, we had indicated, we can check the issue. I mean, the concern around him receiving his salary was raised 2 years ago, and it's still not been addressed. So the fact that they are now asking him for reasons, it is really, the Magistrates Commission, and I'm now referring to the Commission as a whole, not Ms. Schaefer, because she recused herself on these issues, but I'm wanting to specify, I'm not blaming Mr. Mayer and his team. It's the Commission is not taking these matters seriously.
Sure, just with apologies to Mr. Jeffrey, that's a typo on my part. It should be 2012, so it's Pia, that's MD report.
Okay, that's a very serious typo.
Apologies.
One about the spending.
Okay.
The one about withdrawing his salary.
This is the withdrawing of the salary. So what date is that?
It should be 21 August 2012.
August 2012, but you are still chair. I mean, we're it's over 6 months on this issue.
We need to defend my magistrates. The quasi duty things are so stretched and have been asking for ages for extra assistance and haven't got it. So I do have some sympathy with him on that. But I do agree with the Commission. I'm starting to think it might be worth my while staying inside instead of recusing myself there and rather opening my mouth there instead of here, because it's quite ridiculous. But it's not Mr. Mayer and Mr. Barnard are really working more than their capacity. I have to defend them on that.
Thank you, Chair. I do sympathize with the Commission for the lot of work that they are doing, but this is a first impression. If something happens around the magistrates and with all these delays, especially if it's about corruption. What I'm actually also looking at, and which I'm not sure if I understand it well on page 10, is the provisional suspension for 2 years. Was this not supposed to be a cautionary suspension? But the matter is still being looked at, hoping that he will soon get convicted, and that will then therefore determine the next step. How do you precautionally suspend somebody for 2 years? Because suspension is a mechanism that's actually used while something is still happening. Because in this case, maybe if the matter was actually convicted within 6 months, then it could have meant then that action should have been taken. I think, I'm not sure. And one other thing that is actually put too much into play is the whole issue of either reducing or completely withdrawing the salary, which I think is not the essence of matter. The essence of the matter here is how to deal with a magistrate that is corrupt in a way that is fair, that's not going to violate his own labor rights. Because when you look at it from a labor perspective, this 2 year suspension, I don't know whether there's any kind of provision like that in terms of the labor laws of the country. Thanks.
Chair, the provisional suspension in such a serious matter as this was the sole purpose is to not have somebody sit on the bench while these matters are being dealt with and to have the person out of the system completely. And the defense continuously objected and denied and tried every effort not to, to stop us from proceeding at some stages. And there's been a lot of frustration concerning that.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you. The provisional suspension is actually for the purpose of the matter to be investigated and spending an investigation into the fitness to hold office of that particular matter. And we're busy with that investigation. You will recall that the last time we briefed this committee, Mr. Jeffrey correctly, or I think it was the Honourable, some of the members, had the problem of I think it was Ms. Schaefer, had a problem of the withholding of remuneration. Why could the Commission not do that? That's why we send him a letter. He should show cause. I think that would be the correct way to deal with it. But we also had a problem with his attorney, his advocate, actually. We couldn't get hold of his advocate, and he didn't respond to us. We only had a telephone number. He left messages on various occasions to give us a call to set a trial date, and that's where I think Ms. Schaefer requested us to approach the bar to report this matter to the bar. Then he withdrew. So he withdrew Mr. Rambal is with our counsel at the moment, neither in the criminal trial, not in the disciplinary inquiry. So he has to approach, or he has to appear in prison now on the 25th of March, so we can continue with the disciplinary inquiry.
So you're continuing with the disciplinary inquiry, and have you given him an opportunity to explain why his salary shouldn't be...
In the meantime, yes, if it's... In the meantime.
And when will, when is that required?
He should... report back by the commission will get back to us by tomorrow, by Friday. We served the letter personally on him last week, and he has to, and then we have to deal with it at the commission's next meeting.
I withdraw my proposal. We reject the report. I suppose we should accept it, but I think we should be saying general things in the report relating to the circus that these magistrates are performing in. Assisted by the legal profession.
Yes.
I think I think the point on just for clarity on Mr. Rambal's salary is that we are concerned that the magistrate can be sitting at home for 3 years, I think is, receiving a salary. And that we want the commission to look seriously at the question of withholding his remuneration. I think we can express ourselves on it because we've got to come back to confirm it. But I think it's that this issue needs to be looked at by the Commission urgently.
Have you noted all that?
It is a surplus, though, these magistrates. I mean, this. I see what surplus allow is coming, maybe... Amser or Rasa should look at selling tickets for their own show.
Regional coordinator said that Amser is not Rasa.
Represents both. Rasa's both.
We find it difficult drawing a distinction between them. All right. Okay, so the report won't be rejected. Will be noted with expressions of concern from the committee. Right. Okay, Mr. Dumani. Mr. Dumani.
Dumani, Chairperson. He was the head of office, judicial head of office at Grafton Med. You recall that he was found guilty of 3 counts of misconduct involving sexual harassment. He took the decision of the presiding office to find him guilty.
He. Okay, but, well, this is from Supreme Court of Appeals judgment. His name is listed as Colleen.
It's actually Colin.
Yes, I know, but...
But it's Colleen.
He's written it down as Colleen. That's what I'm asking. Sorry.
That's it, because he's a male.
All right, fair enough.
Chair, this committee and actually and the select committee were... requested in 2011 to dismiss this report in advance pending the outcome of this matter on appeal. Mr. Dumani filed an urgent application to restrain the minister to file this report in Parliament, otherwise he would have had him incarcerated. So we didn't oppose that application, but we did oppose the review application. And the review application, he was granted leave to appeal it, but he was not granted leave to appeal. He petitioned to the Supreme Court of Appeal. He was leave to appeal, and the matter was eventually heard now. And we have a final decision that his application is dismissed with cost. So we have revealed that the Minister's report, which was filed in 28 September 2011, that which was tabled in Parliament, is now due to be considered. Nothing prevents the Parliament now to, and it's argued that he should be removed from office.
Mr. Jeffrey, and then Mr.
Shaker. Yeah, as I understand what is being, this report is slightly different. The report is with Parliament, Minister's decision. We're being asked to consider it and pass a resolution, CB effect, not the sort of office CB dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can do that today because we don't have that report back with us. I mean, in terms of it's with us, but it hasn't been submitted, and I don't want us to leave any opening to a litigious magistrate that we didn't properly consider the matter. But can we not do this next week? I don't think the commission need to come. I think it's sort of fairly straightforward. So can we have the report recirculated to all members and then consider that? I think that's what the Mr. Mayor is requesting.
Yeah, Chairperson, actually I just sent the report through. This report dates the 20th of September 2011.
Yes, I know, but have we got it?
It was signed by the Minister on the 15th of September 2011.
You want to deal with it? All right.
And I don't know, Chair, I mean, looking at the report, I mean, he was found guilty of 3 or 4 charges of sexual harassment against female clerks with the Crafrenet Magistrate's Office. Luckily, they were clerks, not members of the public, but, well, not luckily, but what I'm saying is that it would be, you know, if a magistrate was harassing members of the public, I would have thought it would be worse, maybe not. But, I mean, a magistrate is meant to be dealing with sexual offence matters. And I think that there's nothing in the report to show that anything has been done wrongly. The whole procedure has been subject to intense consideration by all these courts. So I would move, if it's possible, that this report from the Minister dated 15th of September be accepted, and that we recommend that he not be restored to his office.
Sorry?
The fact that it's the employees of the department actually makes it worse. It's the power relationship between the magistrates and the clerk. Other than that,
it was more what I said about that. It was more, that was he harassing members of the public, but I withdraw that.
All right. Shall we support you seconding that? Is there anyone opposed? Anyone want to add to what's been said? Great point. Enough said? All right. We've still got to go with it to the House, eh?
Yeah.
All right. So we agree procedurally our report then goes to the House. The House confirms it, and that's it. Okay?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Right.
He's not being paid either.
Good. I would hope not.
Ms. Labesi will introduce you to the report of Ms. Ntuli.
Right.
Ms. Ntuli, you will know that she joined us as chairperson, and we are very grateful for the commission that she's been seconded for the next 3 years to us. So very grateful for Ms. Labesi.
Labesi, when did you join them?
June of 2012.
Have you had fun?
There's a lot of work to do. I must say. Right. Yes.
Okay, we're in your hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. The matter today is a new matter before this committee. He is an additional magistrate stationed at Uten Hage. And the matter came to the attention of a magistrate commission, specifically the Ethics Division, through a complaint by the Chief Magistrate of Port Elizabeth, Ms. Rapacello, who informed the Commission that Ms. Ntuli was arrested on Friday, the 17th of August, 2012, when a charge of driving a motor vehicle was under the influence of liquor. It should be noted that that particular day was actually a Friday, if you check the calendar. It was early in the morning, around 7:30, when this incident occurred. And it is not known whether Ms. Ntuli was on leave or on his way to work on the particular day. He was...
what difference does it make?
He was on his way to work and was drunk.
Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't drunk.
No, by saying that the paperwork would have been on the bench front.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be on the record of leaving.
But there was no record. There's no record that he had actually completed the leave for the day. He was issued a written notice to appear before court on the 13th of February 2013. And basically he was already found by a police officer in town, as I said, around the 7 hour 15, driving alone in a motor vehicle, which was moving from one lane to another, an indication that the driver was not in proper control of the motor vehicle. Mr. Ntuli was previously convicted of the same offence on the 20th of March 2008. He was subsequently charged with misconduct, found guilty, and on the 8th of July 2009, strongly reprimanded by the presiding officer to refrain from any similar misconduct in future. There is a letter from the minister.
Yes.
I think it is an H.R.G. Ah,
yes.
The,
the
minister has already approved his provision of pension.
Right. Yeah. But mine is not signed. Is yours signed?
Okay. Do you have a copy in your file?
We have a copy, but ours is not signed.
Yours is not signed.
Yours signed?
Yes. I have the
original
one.
Fine. No, as long as it's signed. That's okay. All right.
We'll arrange that it be handed over to every member.
No, just give it to Mr. Manu for him to do the next. The important thing is that there is a signed copy.
Oh.
All right. Well, there you have it.
And then...
So we're recommending provisional suspension. Okay.
If you get convicted of drunk driving, you get a reprimand. That's also quite interesting.
Well, you see the magistrate appearing before magistrate. So, you know, what do you do? What do you... Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Maybe we will ask him. Same day, I mean. Yeah.
Jefferson, may I briefly respond?
All right.
We had a matter, I think it was a Nongena matter. He was also found guilty of drunken driving. And then for the second time, we requested that he be removed from office. And it was our former deputy minister who said in Parliament, the judges get drunk as well. And they also appear in court. We didn't dismiss them. So that was the stance at this stage.
Present deputy minister?
It was Mr. De Lange. And then there was a long debate on that. So we took heed of the advice of the then deputy minister that the report was not filed in Parliament at all. All that was discussed, but he said, no, we're not going to take it to Parliament.
Yeah. Should we proceed? Honourable Member? Yes? Anyone of the suggestion?
I know it was early in the morning, what, 7:30? Okay.
It's 7:50 in the morning.
Wow.
On a Friday morning.
Okay.
I think the issue of him, I mean, maybe the commission should look at, you know, was he on way to work? I mean, in terms of routes. Yeah, I know there was no leave application, but maybe he was going to take it off anyway. But was he on way to work? I mean, at the time he should have been going to work. And then, have there been any other reports of him, allegations of him being drunk on duty? Just as interested in it, when it looks at the discipline, when they look at the disciplinary matter.
No, there have not been any reports of him coming to work inebriated. But the health office said he just had a tendency of absenting himself from duty. So I suppose it's probably due to this condition that he abstains from duty.
Just in a lighter vein, you know that many people have this expression to say, but it's 7:15 in the morning. Somewhere in the world is 5:00. You like that one, Mr. Mayor? Anyway, so we approving the minister.
his recommendation?
Yeah.
Right. That's done. Next one.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. It's Ms. McCauley. Ms. McCauley was an additional magistrate at Villa Bella, and she was charged with fraud and defeating the ends of justice criminally, and we already did an investigation and requested the minister to provisions, or recommended to the minister to have his provisions suspended from office. He tabled a report in Parliament on the 4th December 2012. It was tabled away at the SEC on the 11th of December. And on the 24th of December, we were informed that she did not survive a serious car accident, so we don't have any jurisdiction to proceed with the matter, of course, and we requested the minister to revoke its report. I have a letter here dated the 5th of February 2013 to the speaker from the minister that he wishes to revoke the report on her provisional suspension from Parliament.
I'm not sure I understand this now. She was in an accident and she died as a consequence. So what are we doing now?
Well, too, she was provisionally suspended from office. And it must be confirmed by Parliament. The minister the provision is suspended from office on the 4th of December.
And now you're saying there's no point in proceeding?
There's no point in proceeding because the basis for which he was provisionally suspended from office fell away. And the minister revoked the report, so there's actually no report for Parliament. Is that correct? I don't know the procedure, actually.
There's nothing to be done.
No. Just notice.
Oh, Mr. Romano is just reminding me that whilst the minister may have done that, the report is still before us. And he's got to withdraw it formally. Yes, the report is presented to us. So, Christine? No.
Was it preferred?
All right, Mr. Romano, we'll just check on that.
We haven't, the report is before both houses. I think the solution, whether it's referred or not referred, is that the minister should request the chair of both houses to withdraw the report, that's all.
Well, that'll be done, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Will that be okay? All right. Okay. Are we happy with that? Miles.
Thank you, dear person. You recall that this matter was also referred back to the Commission to request the Commission to obtain a legal opinion with regards to her removal from office in terms of Regulation 29 of the Regulations for Judicial Officers. Whether the Commission has followed the correct administrative procedure in terms of those regulations, and whether the Commission was entitled to have regard to the issue of Ms. Miles' continued absenteeism. The Commission obtained a legal opinion in that regard, and I trust this was circulated, and considered the recommendations, the opinion rather, and resolved at its meeting held on the 29th of November 2011 to submit a copy of this legal opinion to this committee for attention. Chairperson, maybe I just should I come to the conclusion that the procedure was properly followed and that the medical reports advanced that Ms. Miles, although the medical reports advanced that Ms. Miles continued her appointment in the department in a different capacity, instead of terminating her services, it appears for all purposes that the advice cannot be accommodated There stands no reason to reason that in the absence of other alternatives, Ms. Mao be removed from office on the basis of her Geelong.
The issue we raised last time was whether there was any way of boarding her and whether to act the other option of Rule 30. Now, no mention of that in any of the reports. Has she been approached about applying Rule 30? Because we were concerned, we said that it was obvious that she couldn't carry on, it was clear that she couldn't carry on doing her job. But there was an option, and we wanted to know whether there was this option of kind of a boarding procedure so she could continue to get her benefits that she was entitled to before. Has that happened or not?
Chairperson, I think we mentioned it last time as well, myself and Mr. Lowe will be. We personally approached her, we advised her to follow that route, and she declined.
And then I think we must accept the report.
I support that option. It has been pending for too long. The one thing that I think she proposed was that it was recommended at some point that she is substantial insertion has been effective. Maybe it's of a counselor, psychiatrist.
That's one of the problems we had. That she was advised to consult a psychiatrist and for counseling, for her treatment, but she refused, she didn't go there, she didn't make the appointments.
Just one or two questions, and really, it's a Julian document, I keep describing it. Has the commission had any further contact with Miles, or made any further approaches to her in terms of the option presented in Regulation 30? Vacation of office and grounds with no health, that's one. Has she returned to work? If not, has she submitted any sick leave or medical
stipend? Chairperson, like I said, we did approach her with regard to the option of requesting the minister to vacate office in terms of Regulation 30. She did not, she actually took it, she took exception to our, that we discussed it with her.
Okay.
And then with the other matters, no, we did not, after that discussion, had any further discussion with her personally, but she doesn't submit any forms or medical aid in support of that. Or medical certificates, rather, check.
So, is our recommendation that she be removed from office? Are we all in agreement on the agreement? Is it removal or suspension?
Chairperson, the minister must suspend, and then it actually for Parliament it is to not to restore her to office. It's actually removal from office. Yeah.
So we are recommending suspension. No, the removal.
No.
Not restoring at all.
It's not at work.
It's suspended. Should not be restored to office.
For the act, please.
Okay. Should not be restored to office. Okay. Okay. I want to bring to your attention a similar case to this one. That's of an acting magistrate. I'm going to ask Peter to just remind me of that guy's name. I've forgotten. Namaste.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. The National Assembly, on recommendation of this committee, already removed Ms. Ndamasi from office on the 20th of September 2012 for a decision not to restore its office. Chairperson, that the NCOP did not consider the matter then, so we requested Ms. Ndamasi to show cause why her remuneration should not be withheld. It was done and was considered by the Commission, and it was eventually implemented in effect from the 1st of January, February. we just need to have an endorsement on this in this regard, since the process has already been followed. We are in the process of drafting a letter to the minister to have her removed from office. Yes, Chairperson, since April 2012, she actually threatened the Commission to take matters on review. She did now eventually file an application to set aside the presiding officer's ruling, as well as the decision of the Commission to have a charge of misconduct. But the application will be opposed. I think she's due out of time, that will be argued. There's no order yet, so there's no, I think it doesn't suspend our procedures. That's our view.
Okay. Honourable members, the decision? This is sort of more of a administrative problem with the magistrate. She refused to attend a meeting with the chief magistrate. She raised her voice and threw a letter at the administration officer, refused to accept written correspondence from the chief magistrate. Refused to submit her admission of guilt statistics on the civil, or failed to submit admission of guilt statistics, submitted leave directly then to the relevant senior magistrate, refused to submit sick leave forms, refused to sign acknowledgement, comments made in court sworn shamelessly and uninterested in proceedings. But when do those offences relate to? What date?
Either from 2008 to 2010.
I mean, Chair, look, I don't know, the issue of the review, she was found guilty on what date?
It was April 2012.
April 2012, and then the Commission resolved in July that she be removed. So, I've been sort of long in the proceeding. I don't really see why we shouldn't support personally. I don't know what other members feel.
Honourable members, no other feels?
No, Namaste.
So we're all in agreement. Okay. It deals with Mr. Namaste. Anything else, Mr. Mayor? Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, there's nothing else. And thank you for the support and the guidance we needed. Video level based.
Honourable members, given that we deal with magistrates now and the team is here before us, I've been meaning to bring this case to your attention. It's with regard to Mr. Wilfred Thomas. Mr. Thomas was appointed by the Minister in an acting magistrate's case. Acting magistrate. His name is Wilfred Thomas. And like Mr. Myers, he developed these strange illnesses that no one can put the finger on, and stayed away for long periods of time, and of course kept saying, well, I'm good. Eventually, he received a letter from the minister saying he'd been removed. In his letter to me, he says his case should have gone to the commission
and follow the normal process that magistrates follow. I was in process of writing a whole lot of letters, one of them to the minister, the other to the commission, and so on. When I decided to just check the magistrates, the definition of a magistrate excludes an acting magistrate. All right? And I realized I would have made a huge mistake. I have not taken the matter further because I wanted to raise it with you as committee members. I'm going to ask my PA to circulate a copy of a fairly thick file of letters he's written to me, demanding to know what's going to happen to this case, because he's insisting that the minister can't remove him until Parliament has given the okay. So I'm just bringing it to your attention. Right.
My understanding of acting magistrates is that they're appointed by the deputy minister and it's for a specific time frame, so they can appoint and then not reappoint. Can this just confirm that it is the case?
I think, Chairperson, there's a bit of a confusion. We have contract magistrates or then appointed on a contract basis, which can be attorneys, wherever, to deal with backlog cases or to assist. That's for a period of 3 months on a time or at the time, and then it can be extended, but those appointments are made in consultation with the Deputy Minister. But I think Mr. Thomas was on probation, if I'm not mistaken. So he signed a contract. In terms of the contract, the Commission was of the view that he was in contradiction of some of the terms of the contract. And so he was not permanently appointed by then. In terms of the contract, the minister may then terminate the contract. And that, I think that happened in this case. Now there is still an argument about whether a magistrate on probation should also be dealt with in a normal manner as a permanent appointed magistrate. So that would then be referred to the commission, and the commission should then either deal with it as a misconduct matter or an ill health matter like we did with Ms. Miles. Because if you don't deal with it as a permanently appointed magistrate, you have to go to Parliament. But that's still an argument between, I think we have a different view on that, because the contract is then void if you don't fulfill it.
This is as far as his appointment. Who appointed him? Did the appointment process go through the Magistrates Commission for the interviews?
Yes, Jeffers. There are local provincial committees which are now centralized, as I believe. So there is an interview and the recommendation that he be provisionally appointed on probation. He is then appointed by the letter of the minister, and then the probation period commences, which includes that he or she has to attend a court, justice college, etc., and be on the bench for a period of at least 6 months, whereafter a report has to be compiled and be considered, and a recommendation has to be made by the minister, to the minister by the commission, to have him or her permanently appointed or not.
Look, I think it's something that the chair, you should maybe formally refer to the commission. I mean, to the commission, yes. My understanding is that a person appointed, even if it's on probation, is permanently appointed. The contract would usually then, the permanent contract of employment would usually then have a term, a section dealing with probation. And as far as I know, the Labour Court rulings on probation is that you've actually got to, it's quite onerous in terms of you've got to have, if you're not going to, if you want to get rid of them at the end of the probation period, you're going to have to show that you took steps to correct the behaviour, all those kinds of things. So it's not enough just that they didn't actually perform properly. You've got to show that you tried to assist them and guide them. I think it's probably quite a moot point, but I think that the best would be for the commission to, maybe it be referred Maybe actually I'm just thinking on the top of my head, maybe to refer it to the minister. I mean, the deputy minister's powers are a delegation from the minister to get legal opinion on the matter. But I think he's, without really knowing facts of the thing, he's probably got a case to say that I mean, I suppose his case would be that he should have been permanently appointed. That would be the issue. But I think it's not as simple as it sounds.
The whole issue of probation has been raised to the Commission already, and the Chairperson is of the view that we shouldn't actually have probationary periods anymore. It is provided in the Act, but as you quite rightly said, when you're appointed as a judge, you're appointed and that's it. Whereas with magistrates, they're appointed, then they have to undergo this period and they have to assess their judgments. Now, our argument has been that if you're going to change that purpose, we need to be far stricter in how you actually appoint magistrates, and that's come from magistrates themselves. We need to then bring our processes more in line with the JSC and make sure that people who are appointed when they are able to do the work, not so that you can see if they can do the work. Because effectively they are magistrates. I mean, they sit in cases and they carry on as normal. But it's not a simple issue. And I suspect it might end up having to be challenged in court if he wants to take it that far. But it has been done, and it is in the Act, as far as I remember, that is provided for in the Act. But it is controversial.
I just need clarification. When you introduced the matter, you indicated that the magistrate was actually appointed as active. And now we're talking about many positions and probation, so I'm not sure
what the view is. In his letter, he states that he was appointed as an acting magistrate. That came from him. I've not communicated with anyone. I've not communicated with the minister or the commission. It came from him that he was appointed as an acting magistrate. And so, as I said, I drafted a whole lot of letters, and then I said, let me check the Act first. And the Act says, well, if you're an acting magistrate, you're not a magistrate. So, which makes what you've just said then, I don't know, what is it?
Just there is a legal opinion also in this regard, whether magistrates on probation should be regarded as permanently appointed magistrates. And it says that they should
be regarded as magistrates.
Yes.
Okay.
From the department. State the law advisor.
all the issues before us. Is there anything else? No? Yes.
Well, on magistrates, what are we doing with the Amsler Joasa matter? Are we not inviting them to come and speak with us?
On the remuneration?
Yes.
We understand you chatted with NCOT. Are you able to...
No, not on the record, Chair. Apparently with the constitutional case was argued in constitutional court, judgment is a waiver, so I think that's going to guide everybody else.
What does that affect the time frame?
Well, look, I don't know, but I mean, if we don't, at this point, if we don't grant the magistrates their increase before the end of March, they won't get it. I really do think we should look at calling Joasa and AMSA in, and then we can look at, we have to consider that draft proclamation from the President.
Please bring the minutes of meeting, giving them a mandate on what grounds they can negotiate with them.
Yes. Let's come together. Because we've got magistrates complaining that these two bodies don't speak on their behalf. And they're making recommendations to Parliament that they don't necessarily agree to.
Another issue
Okay.
The criminal procedure, unfortunately, can I raise that one?
Yes.
Unfortunately, due to a sensitivity over changes to the programming committee made subsequent to programming committee meetings, the bill is not on for tomorrow. I think it's on for Tuesday next week. I had informal discussions with Ms. Schaefer, Ms. Adams, Ms. Swart, and they had indicated, Chair, as I reported to you, that they didn't want any debate. So I think it maybe should be just recorded as a formal decision of the committee that the chairperson just present a report. The supplementary report... I was told by the committee secretary that the table were requesting that we don't adopt it, that we refer to the matters, or you refer to the matters when you speak. However, when I spoke to the acting secretary of the NA, he denies making such a suggestion. But there is the supplementary report, which I don't know if it's been circulated.
Okay, are we okay with that? Anything substantial, please help us here.
I didn't send you the report. No, I think you've been on. it was just those comments that you wanted around that we hadn't, we only got two submissions, there'd be no request for a formal oral presentation, so we invited the doctor and the judges. That was it.
If we're not asking for anything, then maybe that should just be full part of the chairperson's address.
So we don't have to adopt that report?
No, because then otherwise we can't do it today and it's not before us, and then we can't do the bill next week. And I'm quite, I think it'll be an unusual situation where the Justice Committee has only one bill before it. So I want to sort of enjoy that as long as possible before more come.
All right, fair enough. Are we in agreement with that? Okay. So we also agree that both Joasa and Aramsa, Aramamensa, must appear before us with their mandate. Okay. Unani, have I sent you or have you received a copy of this letter from the Minister with regards to the treaty obligation? You've received it. Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Other than that, it looks like we're done.
Something of like,
yes?
Some magistrate saying it is true of condition is going to plan.
Yes.
So if then we call it true, what is? Why do we do as what we want to do and not pretend it's going to be true?
Yes, we did see one person who represents. Well, yes. and when we did that, they wrote me a very stiff letter, just these two, saying, we watch you talking to that lot, now you have to talk to us. And until you've spoken to us, you can't proceed. Well, all right. Watching brief. Yes. No harm in that. Yeah. Well, he can send someone. Yes. Well, that's been the problem. You see, there's Juasa, there's Aramisa, there's the unrepresented lot. And then there's one another lot who don't belong to anyone.
Are we also inviting LCRC, Local Court Remuneration Committee?
Yes. Mr. Judge,
will they be in the same meeting?
Well,
he was here, but would they
be present?
I think so. Because the issue said directly impact on what they do, yes.
Anything else?
But Chair, we need to prepare in mind we need to get a resolution to the House before the end of the month.
End of February?
March.
End of March, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else other than...
Can we have a... Well, Chair, there's 2.1 minutes. Because we want to meet the head behind me, we had this long debate around it.
I got a set of minutes the other day.
I didn't have
any
minutes.
Huh? I've looked at it now.
So basically, okay, that's that issue. Then,
nothing else?
That's the outcome.
Oh yeah, the report of this.
Because I think it's been quite easy. I would like to see it first. If you agreed on the items, but I think it would be useful.
Put it in a report.
Report about our concerns with the process. And I think even if we start raising the point for maybe the amendments to
legislation. Ahead of our approval by the House?
No.
No. Okay. Good enough.
Well, I think we should like welcome the constitution of the law and
Yeah, but I can't help remarking on the fact that now they need more people. That tells how bad things are.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. No, it's the number of cases. We acknowledge the professional status of the magistracy and that there are magistrates who are doing excellent work. We grant you that. The problem is that you just need one. Yes. And if it goes out that Is it Ndamase who tried to hit his wife in Max?
Oh,
man. If that goes out, you know, you've no idea what it's going to do to the magistracy. Yes. Yes, once Mr. Mayer and co had left. But you're supposed to not turn your back on the chair. Mr. Jeffrey is saying that because we're about to adjourn. And he's feeling that you've gotten away with it. No, she did mention that. All right, honourable members, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Bisi, sir, thank you.